This is WMUA Amherst.
Wolf in the Suitcase by D. Dina Friedman. Carted back to my baby house, it browned, breaking lamps and brittle things, darkening what had already dimmed. Wolf in the unspoken, wolf in the thick air, wolf in all I do not dare to say, biting at the zippered clothes, the suitcase does its blinded muzzle dance, bludgeons through hallways, down brick steps where begonias bloom in the blighted yard. It's crying, touch me not. It claims it can see in the dark.
Listening to Edward Rosser on a Cetro CD playing Chopin's Nocturne in B major. And before that, we heard D. Dina Friedman reading the title poem to her book, Wolf in a Suitcase. You are tuned in to Poetry a la Carte, and I am Daisy Mathias, producer and DJ for the show. Our guest today is D. Dina Friedman, who grew up in New York City, a place she still holds close to her heart. She met her husband, Shel Horowitz, 40 years ago at an open poetry reading in a fifth-floor walk-up in Greenwich Village, and 3 years later, they moved to Western Massachusetts, where they raised their two children, Alana and Raphael, because it was a compromise between Brooklyn and the Ozarks. She currently lives next door to a farm with 500 cows. Dina was nominated twice for a Pushcart Prize and has published widely in literary journals, including Calyx, Common Ground Review, Lilith, Pinion, Negative Capability, New Plains Review, Steam Ticket, Bloodroot, Inkwell, Pacific Poetry and Fiction Review, Tsunami, The Sun, Jewish Currents, Anderbo, San Pedro River Review, Mount Hope, and Rhino. She is also the author of two young adult novels, Escaping into the Night, Simon & Schuster, an Association of Jewish Libraries notable book for older readers, and an American Library Association Best Books for Young Adults nominee. Her other young adult novel is Playing Dad's Song, Farrar, Straus, Giroux, a Bank Street College of Education best book. Dina received her MFA from Lesley University and teaches at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. While writing and teaching are central aspects of her life, equally important is working for a better world. A committed activist, Dina has spent many, many hours working on social justice and environmental issues. When she's not writing, teaching, or doing political work, Dina loves hiking, bicycling, gardening, and traveling. A fun fact about her is that in addition to visiting more than 30 countries, she's been to all 50 U.S. states. To learn more about Dina, visit www.ddinafriedman.com. Welcome to Poetry a la Carte, Dina.
Thanks, Stacy, for having me.
Well, so you work right here at Massachusetts University?
I do. I teach writing in the Eisenberg School.
That's
right
fabulous.
Here.
Yeah. Well, I love your book of poems. And I was interested because as I read them, I felt there was a theme about many different kinds of imprisonment, from the wolf in the suitcase to jails, shackles, cages. I think these poems resonate because most of us are imprisoned in some way or another. Would you talk a little bit about where your life view comes from and how it's evolved in your poems?
Well, that's an interesting question, Daisy. Let me think about that. I think about the wolf in the suitcase mm-hmm. as about memory mm-hmm. and about actually, even though it's interesting, you focus in on the imprisonment. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I tend to be darker in my writing than I am in my life. I also see it as a way of breaking out, that I see that writing... Mm-hmm. Writing the memories, writing the perception is a way of kind of breaking out of a lot of the chains that hold us. I think, again, it's so important to be able to speak out about things that we have a reaction to.
So suitcase implies traveling, too.
I guess it does.
Or things stored away.
Right.
A lot of your poems contain an unexpected turn in them. A kind of mystical door opens and we get a glimpse of something beyond. Yet you do us the great favor of showing rather than telling us. I feel that at the end of some poems, I'm just launching off a cliff with wings made of wax. Could you read your poem Ruins, which seems to take place in the American Southwest, but then we're not entirely sure?
Sure, okay. I'd be happy to read that. I appreciate what you said about the idea of that you felt the turn, because I think that that's really an important aspect of poetry, that we don't want to be told, this is what I think, or this is my way, or this is what I see, but we want to be, I think all of us poets want to be left by posing questions. Yes. I mean, we want to share our perception, but we want to open it, because I see poetry definitely as a dialogue between reader and writer.
Yes. This is not a civil rights manifest.
Right, exactly. Okay, this poem starts with a quote from Richard Hugo, who is mm-hmm. one of my favorite poets. Mm-hmm. And the quote is, "The day is a woman who loves you." It might be a Sunday. You might turn to her on a whim because her skin reminds you of the desert. You could drink her mouth. It's the only water around. Or nestle in bristles of cactus you once called hair. Or sit together in the pews like a couple that has known each other too long without realizing the church has been deserted due to issues of liability. But you could take that risk. Perhaps if you stroke your beard, it might whiten back to the times of Moses. Now it's red, stained with sins you can only think about committing. There's no name for them, just as there's no name for this day or this kiva where the ancients prayed, and you have decided to sit. A sliver of moon shining on the lone ladder out. Three of the rungs are missing.
Listening to more of Chopin, played by Edward Rosser on a Chetra CD. And before that, you heard Dina Friedman reading her poem, Ruins, from her chapbook, Wolf in a Suitcase. So now, your book is going to come out when?
Maybe early March, but okay. I don't know. And I'll actually be doing an opening book launch at Amherst Books.
On March 27th.
That's right.
Yeah. Great. And tell us how people can order your book.
So you can go to the Finishing Line Press website and look for Wolf in the Suitcase by Dina Friedman. And after the book has been published, it will also be available on Amazon.
Great. Okay. So let's hear another poem.
Okay,
not to give everything away ahead of time.
Which one would you like, Daisy?
Would you read Waiting?
Okay. Waiting. There's energy when stories wait for endings. Doomed romance, a growing tumor, a loved one gone crazy with an axe. The imagination soars, but the dog waits for ordinary things, a walk in the woods, samples from breakfast. The cat, who does not believe in waiting, lies like an elegant sculpture on the Guatemalan blanket, the one we first tried to get in that small town, 2 hours away on the chicken bus. We had to wait to tell the story, how strangers sat so close to us they could have been in our laps, how you could see spots where their teeth were missing, smell their lunches, and when we got to the town, there were no blankets because it wasn't the day for market. Instead, there were stores that sold plastic things and a town square painted pink where people lounged. Perhaps they were waiting, though I don't know why or for what. I have a snapshot of that square, and today is also a snapshot, stagnant. All this waiting settles like fog. Even when the endings aren't pretty, it's hard to resist temptation, press fast forward, feel the brunt of the denouement, imagine the place where the stories end.
We're listening to more of a Chopin nocturne. And before that, you heard D. Dina Friedman reading her poem, Waiting, from her chapbook, Wolf in a Suitcase. So you've been published in many, many poetry magazines. Do you find that that whole process of getting published is, for a poet, is a difficulty that's very different from getting something like fiction or nonfiction published?
I think I've had the easiest time publishing poetry, maybe because I send more of it out and, okay, some poems get published, some poems never do.
Different from a book.
It's very different from a book where you work 5 years on a book and it doesn't get published.
I love your book, Escaping into the Night.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's such a dramatic glimpse into what people went through in World War II.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It was really a project of my heart to write that book.
I can imagine it was. Would you read the poem Cage?
Sure. This poem had its inspiration from a poem by Martha Ronk, which was called Greek Freneticos Frantic. And this is not usually written in the style that I write, but I copied her style and a little bit of her intonation. She used words like underneath and underneath, and I decided to make that part of my refrain. Cage. Republican children are just like ours, restless, underneath and underneath, somewhere blood, a heart, somewhere playing on swing sets, somewhere squirming in church. Immigrant children are just like ours, somewhere underneath and underneath scrunched space blankets, restless, wondering where are their mothers, somewhere eaten by wolves or had the gangs come. Silence is molasses. Words stick even when their parents manage to call. Somewhere a bug crawls on the chain link fence that isn't a cage, no more than a church is a cage when the doors are closed. And our children are just like theirs, restless, underneath and underneath a blond boy squirms against his mother's grip. He wants to be wild on a swing set somewhere, not this cage of a room wedged in by parents holding pictures of children in cages, children like Pablito, cowering somewhere. A man with jowls barks strange sounds que no entienden, es el diablo. Our blond boy knows this building with the wolfmen has some connection to the children taken underneath and underneath their parents' grips. Will they come for me? Silence is molasses. The wolves might be listening, though everyone's yelling with their outside voices, words about cages. He wishes, like Pablito, que no entiende. He wishes he were swinging so high the chains would creak. His mommy grips harder. Her hand is a cage. Somewhere there are wolves, restless, underneath and underneath. Somewhere blood, a heart. Somewhere an urge to run.
Listening to more of Edward Rosser playing Chopin on a Cetro CD. And before that, we heard Dee Dina Friedman reading her poem, Cage, from her book, Wolf in a Suitcase, which will be coming out sometime in March, right? Okay, let's hear another poem. How about We Are Stuck in October?
Okay. This poem takes its inspiration from a poem by John Ashbery called The Chateau Hardware. His poem starts with also it's raining again, and so I just use that as my beginning. We are stuck in October. It's raining again, and the remnants of leaves shellacked on the slippery stoop test our dogged tenacity. It's a dead time. Trees choke red while people laugh and point, lingering the way one does at funerals, unable to leave the show horse body, its lips like plastic fruit. Remember how Uncle M would eat those phony grapes to make us laugh? When he lay there embalmed, I thought of him splayed in the armchair, watching the Yankees deflate, no longer Bronx bombers in the bombed-out Bronx. You said he wasn't much different in death. He never talked that much. Once we went to see the Yankees, before athletes took knees at the national anthem to protest quick-triggered police, before the fallen leaves were slick and we had to beware of our balance. Don't trust the beauty of changing colors. The days are shorter, darker. This weather is kind of a jail. Yesterday I heard the geese exulting escape. Sirens of honks and truth, as if they knew hurricanes, wildfires, rising water. A car alarm bleated, a clashing distant pitch. No one paid attention to the warning. Like stadium cries for hot dogs, beer, we blot them out. Too normal in these slippery, tilted times.
We're listening to more of Edward Rosser playing the piano. And before that, we heard Dee Dina Friedman read her poem, We Are Stuck in October, from her book, Wolf in a Suitcase. There are many kinds of memories, aren't there?
There are.
And some of them are things we carry around with us that we would just as soon not, and other things are very precious.
Well, I think all memories are precious, even the ones we'd rather not have.
Point taken.
I think that they teach us something. And I think that so many poems have their origin in memory because, I mean, I think I'm a total liar as a poet. I mean, not everything I write is the truth. But there's the truth of the imagination and the truth of the emotion and the truth of, you know, the deeper meaning that is absolutely true. So if we change a few facts here and there, I think that's a way of processing memory. So
perhaps the value of memory is not that it's factual.
Exactly. It's what it means. And I think in writing poetry, I mean, I write in part to process, you know, some of these questions that these memories have given me, but also to share, to share, to once you put something out, it becomes public, which is terrifying, but it's also a way of letting them go, letting them fly. Yes. So.
Well, and sharing involves a back and forth.
Absolutely. Too. Yeah.
So on that note, I would love to hear Hidden Child, your poem.
So I'll just say a couple of things about this poem. A hidden child, so not everybody knows this, so I just want to make it clear. A hidden child refers to children in the Holocaust who were hidden. And just like my book, Escaping into the Night, was about the Holocaust, it does keep coming up, even though I was an American Jew who was not the child of survivors. It was still around me growing up because I went to school with a lot of people who were the children of survivors. This story, actually, when I was in Israel, I met a couple, an older couple who lived in a Druze village. And this was the story of one of the people in that couple. It's his personal story, and I used his voice in telling it. Hidden Child. My parents fled from me, leaving only ghosts, their long legs thwarted at the Swiss-German border. No songbursts on snow-covered Alps, no flowered meadows, only the brown boot of the brown shirt pounding down on my mother's cheek. I imagine the sound of her neck breaking like the neck of a bird and tried to find her blurred face in mine. I've been told I look like a bird, my nose a beak, my neck too long for my old and egg-shaped head. Now, in the promised land, I watch great birds fly to the carob tree where Bar Yochai, ancient sage of the Kabbalah, ate while he hid for 12 years in the cave whose mouth opens in my garden. Why did life bring me here, if not to highlight the legacy of hiding? When teens with torches surrounded our home, putting on their show of Jew-hating, we had to leave our chickens, our flowering trees. The neighbors watched the holy cave, though no one came to pray, like my life, the whole, empty. There are times I need dark rooms, and other times chickens, a warm egg in my hand.
Listening to Edward Rosser on a Cetro CD with Chopin. And before that, we heard Dina Friedman read her poem, Hidden Child. So, talk of memories. Wow. Would you be willing to read A Letter to God from Florida?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Okay. Letter to God from Florida. Thank you for the crab scuttling to the ocean's edge, for creating edges and the concept of edgy, for days without the happy magenta hue of the F train and the people on the platform playing Angry Birds. Thank you for pelicans and the electronic New York Times antidote to neighbor's newsprint flapping in our faces. Thank you for pouches, for spigidos, bikinis, bearing our skin to the balmy air. For atheism and words without the letter E, and for Scrabble, especially the Z. For orchestras and rabbits, but next time get the brass in tune. For the moon goddess's dictate to kowtow. Thanks a lot for our daily chow. For alligators and those microscopic nits I pick for days out of my daughter's hair. Seriously, Thank you for the concept of infinity and this nitty vacation sand shifting hot as I dig my elbows down, raise my sacred torso, stand to face the foam.
Bit of Chopin's Nocturne in B Major, played by Edward Rosser on a Cetro CD. And before that, we heard Dina Friedman reading her poem from her book, Wolf in a Suitcase, titled Letter to God from Florida. Love that. You are going to have a book launch reading on March 27th at Amherst Books in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Yes, it'll be at 7 p.m.
On the 27th.
On the 27th.
Okay. And the book is from Finishing Line Press.
Mm-hmm. Could be ordered from Finishing Line from Amazon. So,
although we like to support
exactly.
our small presses.
Exactly.
Yes. So
exactly.
You can go to finishinglinepress.com and
right.
order it directly from them.
Right.
Then they get more of the money.
Exactly.
Dina, it's been wonderful having you on today. I really want to finish with your reading my favorite poem in the book, which is the last one. Would you be willing to do that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Okay. Thanks so much, Daisy, for having me. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate your thoughtful read and your thoughtful discussion.
It's been a pleasure.
This one is called Seven Lessons Learned from Sea Turtles. 1. The micromanaging mother is unnecessary. It's enough to lay eggs in the sand and trust the earth to hatch them. 2. Keep walking. The sand will forgive indentation. Eventually, the ocean will pull you in. 3. You can pretend to be a rock. If you're lucky, no one will notice. If not, bite. 4. The decoy nest, like the decoy word, fools only those who don't look deep. 5. Learn to see in the dark. Better yet, learn to compensate for not being able to see in the dark. 6. Rejoice in your long life, the slow steps of your aging. 7. Return to the places you love, even if you're not sure why you love them.
Listening to Edward Rosser playing Chopin on a Cetro CD. And before that, we heard Dina Friedman reading her poem, Seven Lessons Learned from Sea Turtles. I think the Chopin goes very well with your poetry because it's somewhat lyric. It's understated to some extent. And it has a great deal of energy to it, like your poems.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I
so,
appreciate that.
That's all this week for Poetry a la Carte. Thanks to Dina Friedman for sharing her poetry and other thoughts with us today. I'm Daisy Mathias, the producer and DJ for Poetry a la Carte, wishing you a week of poetry and of joy.